Well, thank you, everyone, being out with us this evening, especially if you consider yourself a visitor. I think the weather's got a lot of us that didn't want to bear the cold and get out, but we're thankful for you if you chose to be out with us this evening. The title of the lesson this evening is simply titled Adversity, and I think it'll become clear as we go through the lesson this evening. And we want to start in Numbers chapter 21, verse number 4. This is a very familiar reading for us, but as we go through it, there's several things I want to gain out of it. So we will start Numbers chapter 21, starting verse number 4. It says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.' And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." You know, there's several great understandings we will look at out of this group of verses. And there's one big important one that I think we are as guilty of today as the Israelites were at that time that they were facing it. Of course, this is when they were wandering in the wilderness over to the land, the promised land, but yet they got to complaining and moaning and groaning so much that God didn't allow them to get to the promised land. And this is just part of that moaning and groaning that they were facing when they were over there. You know, and we get to be that way at times. When we face things in our lives that aren't simply what we expect or what we want them to be, do we do as they did? You know, ask that it be removed from us when we have consequences that we face from our choices and bad things start happening to us because of those choices. Do we ask simply that it be removed? I think we are just like these people up here in this group of verses and Numbers, that when something like this happens, then we go to God and we ask that it be taken away from us. But just like God didn't take it away from them in Numbers, he gave them a way to handle it. The same goes for us today. He doesn't remove us from temptations and sin, but he gives us ways to handle them. Just as he gave them a way out looking on the golden serpent, he gives us a way out looking towards Jesus. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." And a whole lot of the times, I think God looks at us and he considers us a lot stronger than what we consider ourselves, because a lot of the times we just so easily give in to sin instead of looking for the way to get out of it. But just like this verse here says, there's no temptation taking you such as is common to man. But God, on two deals, he will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will also make a way for you to escape, so that you may be able to bear it. You know, and God has a purpose for the trials and the tribulations we face in this life. We may not necessarily think that when we're going through those trials and tribulations in this life, but God has a purpose for those things in our lives. He uses these things to mold and shape our lives according to the people that he wishes for us to be. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10 says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." And then Psalms chapter 66 verse 10 says, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." So we see that God uses our afflictions, or whatever you want to call them, our trials and troubles in this life, to try us and to prove us, to see if indeed we are worthy to be heirs in the kingdom of God. And we know these things, but yet when they happen to us, we're still caught off guard, because we still go to God and ask that these things be taken away from us without us enduring what the deal is and then looking to the other side. You know, we know that God looks at these things, and it's just something that, you know, for us as parents, we like to tell our children, well, these are character-building examples or situations. And the kids say, well, we don't want any more character. We've had enough already. But God uses this the same way for us. These are character-building situations in our lives. He uses these things to mold us and shape us and shape our characteristics of how we handle these things and how we look to Him to get through these things and not strictly on our own. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." You know, and we look at that and we think, well, why has this happened to me? You know, whatever the case may be, why does this always happen to me? And yet Scripture says, think it not strange concerning these things, because they happen to all mankind, not simply us. Part of our trials by fire are intended to humble us, and one of our greatest faults as humans is our pride. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 2 says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not." So we look at this and we think, well, why are we allowed to go through these trials and tribulations? Just like God used the wilderness for those Israelites when he pulled them out of Egypt, he uses these characteristics in our lives as well to mold and shape our lives. He uses them to humble us, to prove us, to know what's in our hearts, whether we're going to turn to him to seek that guidance that we need to get through those things that we face in this life, or if we're going to go off the deep end and turn our back on him to begin with and try to handle it all on our own, so that we, just like Barry said this morning, we kind of veer off of that straight narrow path to the side. And that's part of what God uses to help determine if we're going to be that way or not. James chapter 1 verse 2 and 3 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." So we look at these last couple of verses. Deuteronomy says that he uses these things to humble us and to prove us. James says he uses this for our patience, for these things to work our patience, to try our faith, to work our patience. So James is also working on our faith, not just simply our faith to work patience, but he's working on our faith as well to make sure that we do have faith in him and all the promises that he has made for us. You know, we all know after that we have gone through some trial or problem that we thought at the time was just devastatingly terrible, that afterwards when we look back, we think, well, you know, it wasn't quite as bad as what we had expected it to be. Not quite as bad as our first thought or impression of whatever the situation was. So if it arises in our lives again, then we have a better understanding of how to approach those things, how to handle those things, to be more patient to let things work out for our good and not panic, not fall into that category like the human nature that's within us is, oh, woe is me, how are we going to get through these things, but yet to rely on God and his promises. You know, and this is all part of that trial by fire, that it burns off that worldly way of us handling things on our own, and we turn more to the spiritual side of handling things with God's help. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." So this verse here gives us two things. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do we love God? Or do we say that we're simply here and we don't have any love for God? If we're not showing any love for God, then us professing to be Christians is a waste of time. So we know that all these things work together for good to them that love God. All things, not just the good things, but all things. And then it says, to them who are the called according to his purpose, not our purpose. You know, we get to where we can't handle the things that happen in our lives, the bad things that happen in our lives, because it's not what we wish upon ourselves. But yet God has a purpose for those things. And all these things are according to his purpose. But then it says that all these things work together for good. We may not see that good at the time we're going through them, but sooner thereafter we will see the good for those things. Sometimes it may be a long time afterwards before we see the good, but we have to have the faith, just like this verse says, that all these things do work together for good. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, every day, verse 16 says, we faint not, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed by day by day. Every day we live on this earth, our body decays just that much more. You know, our mind gets just a little bit worse on how it works, how it communicates to the rest of the body. The physical body itself perishes a little bit every day that we're alive in this world. And this is what he's talking about. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Well, we renew the inward man by studying God's word and letting that word work within our lives, and we meditate on those things. We have faith in those promises of God. Verse 17 says, for our light affliction, and while we're going through these afflictions in this life, they may not seem to be light at the time, but yet Scripture teaches us that these are light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. These are just part of the growing pains that we go through living in this life, in the flesh, on our path towards heaven to live with God. And these things work for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. And then verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That's the spiritual mindset. We know that the things around us are all there because of God and his influence in this world. But yet we don't put our full trust and faith and all of this in the physical around us. We look towards the spiritual, which is God and heaven and Jesus Christ and all the promises that God gives us through his word. So we don't look at the things which are seen, but we look at those things which are not seen. And then he says, for those things which are seen are temporal, and we realize that. The things which are not seen are eternal, and this should be our focus in this life, those things that are eternal. You know, of course, we have to live in this life. We have to live in the physical in this life, but yet we can have the mindset that this home, this world is not our home, that we're just passing through. We're headed to something far greater than anything this world has to offer. You know, Jesus gives us a very practical point of view in what we're looking at here in Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 49. Here Jesus says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So we look at this verse and we kind of look at it, and well, what's the analogy to this? How does this group of verses apply to our lives today. You know, and it's pretty simple, because our life, when we build our lives on Jesus as our foundation, then anything this world throws at us, we'll be able to handle. We'll be able to withstand. But yet, if, as verse 49 says, if we hear it, but we don't apply ourselves to become children of God, and we don't apply ourselves to being part of the kingdom, then we have no foundation. So when the cares and the troubles in this life beat upon us, then we're going to fall, because we have nothing for strength on our foundation in our lives. That's Jesus, our foundation. It says, for it is founded upon a rock, and that applies to Jesus in our lives. When we have Jesus as our foundation in this life, nothing this life can throw at us that will knock us down, because we understand there's something far greater than what this life is. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So his verse says, but the God of all grace is going to make us perfect and establish and settle and strengthen us. But notice the in-between. It says, after we have suffered a while. You know, we don't have a one-way ticket just straight down the golden pathway to eternity once we've been obedient to the gospel. We still have to live in the world, and the world is where all our trials and troubles come from. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So it says, if we suffer, then we will suffer with Christ with us, because we are joint heirs. We are to be glorified together. And then verse 18 says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Nothing this world offers, nothing this world can take away from us, nothing this world can do to us is not worthy to be compared with the glory that we have promised to us as being obedient servants into the kingdom. You know, we've been told ever since we were small, and we probably tell our children now, that time heals all wounds. So as 2 Corinthians says, our light affliction are but for a while, we'll get through them with God's help and our brother's help, and that time does heal all wounds. Sometimes that may take a longer time, but yet time does heal all wounds. So when we find ourselves in those situations that we think we face in the battles of our life, and we wonder how in the world we're going to get through these things, and why do they always seem to happen to us, realize that they happen to everybody, that we're not particular, special to be laid all the troubles upon. There are people that we see in our lives that tend to have more troubles than others. Some of that's by choices that they make. Some of it's by time and chance, which happens to all mankind. The thing is that we use Jesus as our foundation in this life, so that anything this life throws at us, we can get through and handle it according to the way God wishes us to handle it. That's part of that last verse that says God will strengthen and settle us and encourage us to get through the things that we face. I'll leave the lesson with you this evening. Pray that the things we've studied are beneficial for you, something we can put in our tool chest to help get through the things that this world seems to want to pile on us day to day. But let's realize that this world is not where we build all our characteristics and all our faith in this world. We build all of that into heaven, because that's where we want to be, not in this world, not the things of this world. We want to be in heaven when this is over, and we have to get through these things to get to that point. If anyone's subject to the gospel call, we'd ask you to come forward while we stand and sing the song's been selected.